Morning. We want to welcome our own members. We are glad that you are here, but we also have several visitors. We are thankful that you are here as well. We hope that while you're here, you are encouraged and you are edified, and we just pray that what we do here is according to God's will and according to God's word. A couple things for the benefit of our members here. I know it's already been mentioned a couple times, but we can't stress it enough. Next Sunday, Buddy Payne will be here. We are doing things a little different, and so I know that it might be a little confusing. He will be here at the building on Sunday and on Wednesday. On Monday and Tuesday night of next week, he will be at the Athens Middle School, the new Athens Middle School. That's the one out on 31. He will be there in hopes to reach not only members of the church. Of course, we want to encourage all of you to come, but we're really using this as an evangelistic tool to reach out to lots of different people to come and hear evidence about God, to have some questions answered, to set up some Bible studies. And so that is a little different than what we normally do. He won't be here at the building on Monday and Tuesday night. He will be at the new Athens Middle School on 31 in the auditorium there. It is free. It's free for everybody. I know I've gotten some questions on Facebook about how much tickets are going to cost. It is free, so bring everybody. And I think it's going to be just a great, great series. And so we just want to make you, again, aware of that. You know, we live in a society and we live in a time where social media is full of videos and pictures of people doing nice things. Of doing kind things and kind deeds for whether it's homeless or the less fortunate or something like that. I've always thought it was interesting that people are going out and doing kind things and putting it on videos for everybody to see it. I've always thought that was a little backwards, that we should just do kind things to be kind and not to be seen by other people or to get likes on social media. We remember when people do kind things for us, though, don't we? We remember the bad, and I think it's sad that the society we live in today is one that we applaud people for being kind, because that should just almost be who we are. We shouldn't applaud the rarity, but that seems to be where our society has gone. But we remember when people do kind things for us. I want you to think of some times where people did something for you that wasn't asked. It was out of the ordinary. It was unusual, as you see on the screen. I remember several things just as I was trying to think of some events in my life where I could use as examples. I kept coming back to just a couple different things from my life. I'll never forget, as a little boy, one of our elders from our congregation, some of you know him, but the Watsons, they came over and he brought a toolbox and he helped fix the heater one time. I also remember they just brought some groceries. I don't even think we needed groceries. They just brought some just to be kind. And as a little boy, I'll never forget them walking in the house, sitting and talking with us while Dad and Bob fixed the heater. Just, I remember something kind that someone did for us. I'll never forget when I was in Florida as a college student. I was really, really poor as a college student. I had this little car. It was a little dinky car, and I blew a tire on the interstate. And I'll never forget a random stranger pulling over and just making sure I was okay. I knew how to change a tire, and I was changing the tire. I just want to make sure you're okay. Yeah, I'm okay. I'll never forget someone at church hearing about that I blew a tire, and they recognizing that I was living on a server's salary, which is not a lot of money, they handed me a $100 bill and said, put that towards your tire, replacing your tire. Just something kind. I'll never forget this congregation. In fact, this was one that I just remembered as we were sitting here in this singing this song, when Landy led Jesus Draw Me Ever Nearer. The prayers and the songs that were saying on behalf of Brooke and I, and the money that was given before we left for Arizona to go get Wilson. It's just kindness that I can never repay. We all have moments in our life where someone was kind to us. And it makes us feel good. It makes us feel warm. It makes us feel appreciated. It makes us feel seen. I want to share something unusual, as you see there from the screen, but that's even how Luke describes it, because as we read this story, I want you to put yourself in their shoes, and I want you to see just the kindness that these people were shown. It starts in Acts chapter 28, and we're going to read a few verses, and we're going to just have a few things to say about them this morning. But in Acts 28, let's start reading in verse 1. Now, well, let me back up here for just a moment. At the very end of chapter 27 and through chapter 27, remember, Paul is put on a ship to be taken to Rome as a prisoner. And as he's on this ship, remember, they come across this island of Malta, and they're trying to get in to be docked there. However, before they can do so, their ship hits ground and begins to sink. And at the end of chapter 27, as the ship is sinking, the Roman guards that were in charge of the prisoners on that ship were saying, well, listen, we don't want all these people to escape. We don't want all these prisoners to jump ship and go take refuge on the island. And now we have all these prisoners just running around all over. Let's kill all the prisoners, and then we'll jump ship and we'll get to shore safe. So Paul was about to lose his life here on this ship. Now, there was some intervention there, and they decided to spare all the prisoners, and they had to all jump ship, even the ones that couldn't swim, it says, and they had to try to get to shore, and some were grabbing on planks of wood, and they were getting to shore. And now we pick up in verse 1 of chapter 28. It says, now when they had all escaped, that's not the prisoners escaping, they're escaping a sinking ship. When they had all escaped, they found out the island was called Malta. And the natives showed unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and they made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever of dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. After 3 months, we sailed an Alexandrian ship, whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had wintered there at the island. It's such an amazing story here. And it's such an amazing thing how many times, as Luke is writing down these events, how many times the kindness, the hospitality was mentioned of the people there, the natives of Malta. Can you imagine for just a moment, you're this small island out in the middle of the sea. And all of a sudden, you see, we know exactly how many people are on the ship. Acts chapter 27 tells us there's 276 people on this ship. Prisoners, Roman guards, sailors. 276 people. You're a little native on this island. And all of a sudden, you see all these people, 276 of them, washing up on shore. It's cold, it's raining, the text says there. It's getting ready to be winter. That's why they were trying to dock there, because sailing the sea in winter is not a good time to be sailing. So they were trying to dock, and they were going to ride out the winter and then go to Rome a couple months later. And as it's cold and raining, you have 276 people, some of whom might be fugitives if they are allowed to run. Might be murderers. In fact, they thought Paul might be one because the serpent came out and bit his hand. And they said, well, this is justice. He must be a murderer. You have the low level of society, in other words, escaping this sinking ship, washing up on shore. And as the natives of the island saw these people coming on shore, Luke tells us there that they were shown, in verse 2, the natives showed us, it's called an unusual kindness. And I love how Luke puts it there when he writes that, is that this kindness was so out of the ordinary, so unnecessary when you look at the kinds of people that were being shown kindness, the prisoners. That this was so unusual. That in a time where most people would look at prisoners and run away, in a time when most people would look at who's washing up on shore and run home and lock their doors because who knows what kinds of scum of the earth these people are. They're on a Roman prisoner ship. No, these natives ran to the shore. I can just see it now, can't you? Pulling them out of the water. Bringing them up on shore. It says there, they started kindling a fire. Making us feel welcome. Maybe bringing them some water. If there were injuries, maybe they're starting to tend to those injuries. Making us feel welcome on the island there. All 276 of them. Some of your versions might say when made us feel welcome, showed us great hospitality. Maybe bringing them in from the rain, trying to find out, hey, I can take a couple of these people to my home. Hey, I'll take some to my home. You come with me. Let's get out of the rain. Let's start some fires. They're making them feel welcome, showing hospitality. The text would go on to say, verse 7, they received and they entertained them courteously. They even went into one of the leading citizens' house. Even one of the leading citizens of the island there said, you come into my home. I've got space for you. I've got room. And for 3 days, it says, they stayed there and they were entertained and they received us courteously. It says in verse 10 that they began to honor them. They continued to honor them in many ways. And what's so interesting about this is this was for, as the text also tells us in verse 11, for 3 months. Can you imagine having house guests for 3 months? They say there's two things that start to smell after 2 or 3 days. That's fish and company, right? Have you ever heard that? Can you imagine company for 3 months? And again, I don't want this point to be lost. This isn't brothers or sisters or moms and dads or kids coming home for the holidays. These are prisoners. Some are Roman guards, some are sailors, some are maybe the captain of the ship. But the majority of these people are on their way to Rome for trial. Prisoners. The lowest of society. And yet for 3 months, this is the unusual kindness that was shown. They were received and entertained. They were shown hospitality. They were honored in many ways. It says when they got back on their ship, they found another ship as winter had passed. After those 3 months, they got on an Alexandrian ship. But it says in verse 10, as they departed, they provided such things as were necessary. So not only did they say, hey, while you're here, you're welcome, your family. Isn't that a restaurant's motto? While you're here, your family. While you're here, you're welcome, your family. We're going to take care of you, but you're also going to go on your way. And guess what? Here's everything you need for your journey. You talk about unusual kindness. Again, that's why I love how Luke puts it there. He says, this wasn't just kind. It was unusual. There was something about their kindness that struck a chord. Something about the kindness that was shown, the hospitality that was shown, wasn't necessary, but they did it anyways. Why do it for the low people of society? Well, you kind of get to know the character of the natives there on that island of Malta, don't you? It was unusual. I want us to think about something for just a moment as we go forward. I want us to think about this phrase I heard a long time ago, and I've come to see that. But a phrase that was told to me a long time ago was, there are two kinds of people in this world. There are givers, and there are takers. Have you ever heard that before? There are givers, and there are takers. Givers are the ones that are constantly thinking of ways to serve. They're constantly thinking of what they could do for other people. When they see a need, they don't ask if something is needed. They see it and they do it. They're constantly giving, not just of money. A lot of times when we talk about giving in churches, we just say, well, the preacher wants more money. The church needs more money. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about people who just have a heart to give, show the kindness, to do something for somebody else without expecting anything in return. But on the flip side of that, there are people who are takers. And it's just the society that we live in. People who are always willing to be served. People who are always willing to accept the help that comes, but never willing to step up and serve in return. I want you to ask yourself, are you a giver or a taker? Now, it's not bad to be served. That's not what I'm saying. There are times where I think all of us need to be served. There are times where all of us might be down on our luck. We all might need help at certain points. We all might be sick, and it's nice, again, for people to show kindness to us. But may I also suggest that our responsibility as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, is to be like Christ. And to be like Christ means to have the same mindset of Christ. And Christ told us, He told His apostles really, but He tells us in the book of John, I did not come to be served, but to serve. He came to humble Himself, as Paul puts it in the book of Philippians chapter 2, to the point of death, even the death of the cross. To humble Himself and to serve you and I, to give us hope and everlasting life. To be like Christ means that when we see somebody in need, we can fulfill that need. I'm constantly reminded as I read through the Gospels how many times Jesus would walk into a town, or not even in the town, He would even just be on the road somewhere, and someone would say, Lord, please help me. I might be mistaken, and if I am, come talk to me after. But I don't think I ever see a time where Jesus, in Jesus' ministry, where He comes up to somebody who needs help or has asked for help and says no. He was somebody who was sent here to serve, to give. And He demonstrated that in the most humble way, but also the most immense way possible, is that He gave His life. And it's the same thing that He has asked of every single one of us, to give our lives to Him. I can't tell you how many people I have talked to over the years of what I do that are ready to receive the blessings that come with Jesus. They're ready to receive heaven, like we talked about last week, and eternal life. They want forgiveness of sins, but yet they're a little hesitant to give their life to Him. And I think that's ironic, because Jesus was the exact opposite. He was all ready to give everything He could, including His life, so that you and I could have the forgiveness of sins. It reminds me of that rich young man, doesn't it? Who wanted eternal life, who wanted to know what he had to do to get eternal life. But when he found out what Jesus was asking of him was to give up all the material blessings of this world, he went away sorrowful, for he had many things. He wanted to take the blessings that Jesus could give of eternal life, but to give something away in order to get it, well, I didn't sign up for that. Samuel just read us a few verses in Galatians chapter 6. Turn with me there. In the book of Galatians in chapter 6. Starting in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are household of faith. You've heard this saying before. Maybe we didn't know it was biblical, but we've heard this saying before: you reap what you sow. You get that as a gardening term, right? If you plant sweet potatoes, guess what's going to come out? Sweet potatoes. That's what you sowed. That's what you planted. If you plant corn, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get corn. You reap what you sow. You get what you put in. Isn't it interesting that spiritually that's exactly how Paul describes even our everlasting life? Our eternal life? Mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will out of the Spirit or of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So can I maybe put it in words that maybe I would better understand at least? Do good to others. Sow good seed. That tells me that I need to be actually working and giving and doing, sowing good seed. And guess what we'll get in return? We'll get good seed back. We'll reap what we sow. Do good to others. God will do good to us. Maybe not physically here in this life. That's not the feel-good gospel I'm trying to preach. But we do know, as James tells us, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. If we do good here in this world for the kingdom of God, if you sow in the Spirit, you will also, again, everlasting life. And so he says, and I think it's interesting that he finishes that little section with these verses, and like in verse 9, so let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Again, I'm reminded of those natives of Malta who saw prisoners and 276 people wash up on shore and were not worried about what was in it for them. They were not worried that these were prisoners. All they were worried about was doing good, about serving, about giving. As I was reading that story this week and as I was preparing for this morning, I wondered, in connection with what we read here in Galatians, I wonder what those natives reaped. I wonder how God blessed them. Maybe we'll find out someday. But there's no question, at least according to Luke and Paul and those 276 passengers, the kindness they were shown those 3 months, it was unusual. Why? Because it was unexpected. Now, just this month, the beginning of February, we started our brand new teams. And I have been just so amazed at already what is coming from those 8 teams. One of the teams called me and brought something to my attention about what today is. Today, it's not anything religious, it's just one of those, you know, there's a day for everything now. There's National Donut Day, National Pizza Day, those are some of my favorites, but today is National Random Act of Kindness Day. And they had an idea, the service team had an idea. And you have that idea right in front of you. You were handed a little packet with some cards and a list of some things. They said, do you think it would be a good idea to make some cards that we can go give people as we do some random acts of kindness, and we can encourage our congregation just to go do something for somebody, and it will say something like this, and I think this is the card that we have, enjoy this random act of kindness. And it has Luke chapter 6, verse 31. Do to others as you would have them do to you. They said, do you think that's a good idea? They said, we also wanted to just print a little list of some ideas that we can go do. Just random things that we can go do for people. They said, do you think that's a good idea? I said, I don't think it's a good idea. I said, I think it's a great idea. I said, so great, I'm going to scrap what I was planning to preach on Sunday morning, and I'm going to preach on this topic. Because rarely do we look at just the aspect of going out and being kind to people. Rarely do we look at just what we can do for other people without getting anything in return. We all need to ask ourselves, what can I do today that would just be so unusually kind? What can I do today? I think you were given about 4 or 5 cards. If you can go give all 4 of those cards out to somebody today, great. I want to make this point, because this was talked about as we were discussing some of these things. The reason these cards were printed was to not bring glory to ourselves or this church, Marion Street Church of Christ. But when you go do something kind for somebody, maybe you're going to leave an extra nice tip to that struggling waiter or waitress at lunch in just a few minutes. You can leave that card in the checkbook. They know that you're trying to spread the glory of God. They know that, as it says on that little list of ideas, you're trying to let your light shine, not so men can see our good works, but they can glorify our Father in heaven. And so as you go throughout today is the National Random Act of Kindness Day. But every day is the Kingdom's Random Act of Kindness Day. That every day moving forward, we should strive to do something for somebody that is so unusually kind that the only thing they could do is just to stop and wonder why. Maybe there's no reason why besides we're followers of Christ. We love you. We love God. We want to do something for you. What will you do today? How will we step up and be a giver? How can we bless someone's life today? How can we do something for somebody that is so unusual they just have to stop, read the card, and say, God was glorified today? That's what we want to do. Glorify God. I might also add that when Jesus was giving his Sermon on the Mount, he tells us a couple things. He says, it's real easy, talking about the Pharisees, it's real easy for people who love each other to do nice things for each other. He says, why do you greet the people that greet you? Even the Pharisees and the tax collectors can do that. Why do you love people who love you in return? Even the Pharisees and the tax collectors can do that. In other words, when we're talking about being kind to people, now we should always be kind to our friends and family. So don't take what I'm about to say in the wrong way, right? We should do good to all men. Let's not forget what Galatians 6 just said. But man, can we think outside the box? It's real easy for me to be kind to Brooke. Why? Because I see her every day and I love her. She's my wife. It's real easy for me sometimes to be kind to the kids. Why? Because they're my kids. I love them. It's real easy for me to be kind to a lot of you. Because we see each other on a regular basis. We love each other. But you know what's really hard? It's hard doing something kind for people outside these walls that might not know about Jesus. It's hard doing something kind for people who might disagree with me spiritually or morally, ethically. It's hard letting our light shine in dark places. That's what I encourage us to go do. Encourage us to go let that light shine where it needs to be shined. Do good to all men. It might be that you need to be kind to someone here. I'm not trying to take that away at all. There's lots of kindness that can be shown to our families and our brothers and sisters in Christ. But just an idea. Go into the world and show the kindness that God has given. I'll never forget I've had several kind things done to me in my life. But I feel like the kindest thing that was ever done to me was what Jesus did for my life. And when I decided to give my life to Jesus, when I decided to obey the gospel and be buried in the waters of baptism, someone came up to me, as many times they do. You come back to the front pew and people are hugging you, telling you congratulations, welcome to the family. And they said, "You just received the greatest blessing you will ever receive. Forgiveness and mercy and grace." You want to talk about unusual kindness? We have a Savior who left His throne in glory to come here and to live as a man and to be put on a cross and to be tortured and to be killed so that you and I can have hope at eternal life. What an unusual thing to do. But that's the opportunity each and every one of us have here this morning, is to respond to that kindness, to give something back in return, to give our lives to Christ, to be buried in the waters of baptism and to have our sins washed away so that we can understand what a blessing that truly is, so that we can go and we can help other people understand what it means to be saved by the waters of baptism, what it means to be a child of God. There's some people here that need to make that decision. There's also some people here that just need to come back to the Lord, that have been living in sin, that have lived in sin for far too long. Here's another kind thing the Lord does for us, that even when we do wrong, even when we sin and fall short, He is always there to welcome us back and to bring us back home. Do you need to come home? Do you need to give your life to Christ? You can do that now as we stand and as we sing.
Sin the double cure.